Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to be back with you, and I think I'm going to start with international politics. No, maybe, perhaps, we'll start with international politics. Maybe we'll start with national politics. Maybe no politics at all. So I've been researching this the past couple days, trying to find a blood and trauma-free method for killing roosters. And as far as I can tell, there is no such thing. No blood-free, no trauma-free way. Well, there is. There's the one option that I saw, the one reliable option, is to take them to the vet and have them euthanized, which I'm seriously considering that as the option. See, here at the McBurney compound, I've finally reached an understanding with the children that there's just too many roosters and you just can't do that. It's not sustainable, the popular modern vernacular. It's not sustainable. Too many roosters. And so the children, finally, there's been enough damage and destruction and just general mayhem that even the children agree that we have to thin out the population. And so, I don't know, do we know what it costs to euthanize a chicken? Down at the, it's probably like $25, $30, probably more? $150?
I don't know.
Well, we're going to look into it, okay? I haven't looked into pricing. I saw a lot of interesting theories about how to create little gas chambers for chickens, but none of them really seemed viable. It seemed like there's a lot of things that could go wrong. The chicken could end up suffering more, And that's even more traumatic. One old lady, she just put up there, look, man up and grab an axe. She said, I'm sorry to say it. This is how it's got to be done.
Yeah,
it's got to face it. Well, I don't have a problem eating them. That's not the problem. It's the physical killing of them that I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons God asked for animal sacrifices, was to remind people of how horrible sin is. Because in order to bring your sin to remembrance and to ask God for forgiveness, he made you kill an animal with your own hands in many cases. Just horrible. It's not fun. It's nothing I want to participate in. And so depending on the pricing down at the vets, if you have any home remedies that you want to send in, like building the little box with the hose coming out of the exhaust of your car, that's
traumatizing.
Well, yeah, that'd be traumatizing,
too.
Well, I'll take them to the vet. You don't have to go. The children don't have to go. All right.
Why are we talking about this?
Because I don't really want to talk about politics. That's why.
I don't want to talk about that either.
No? All right, let's talk about Iran. Instead of politics, we'll talk about war from the war file. Mullah Rouhani. No, he's not a mullah, right? He's the president. The president, in quotation marks. The president of Iran told Donald Trump, don't play with the lion's tail. This will only lead to regret. Peace with Iran is the mother of all peace. And war with Iran is the mother of all wars. Mother of all wars. Didn't I hear that once before from somebody over there in that part of the world who ended up in a spider hole? Mother of all wars. That might not be the best line, Mr. Rouhani, but certainly not very original. Iran is rattling their sabers this past weekend. What is Rouhani, the president, said to Donald Trump in particular, as a matter of fact. Rouhani said, quote, "You are not in a position to incite the Iranian nation against Iran's security and interests."
They talk like that.
You are not in a position to incite Iranian nation against Iran's insane mullahs and dictatorship.
That's Pakistani.
It is Pakistani. It's not. I'm sure I'd be criticized by a real Persian, and they'd say, look, that's a hackneyed Pakistani accent. What is that? That doesn't work. But anyway, so what this tells us is that the current administration in Washington is getting under the skin of the Iranian dictators, and it's really not even us so much as it's them. You know, they say we're not in a position to incite the Iranian nation against the dictators, but actually we are in a position. And not only are we in a position, we have been in that position since 2009. You remember when Barry inexplicably whiffed on the best opportunity since 1979 to oust these maniacs? So we've been in this. This has been just percolating. And all Barry would have had to do was accede to the revolution and maybe ship in a few guns, a few bombs, maybe a few targeted strikes. And, well, we probably wouldn't even do that. Just help the rebels to oust these maniacs. And I have no doubt in my mind that Donald Trump will do that. He's good for that. Donald Trump, I predict that the Iranian regime will not be Islamic by the time Donald Trump leaves office. And that the North Korean dictatorship will no longer exist. Those are two of my bold predictions. Because I know what Donald Trump is good for. I know exactly what he's good for. And those two things I think we can almost guarantee. Just out of his own sense of self-aggrandization and his place in history. That he'll do those two things. And that will be better for the world on that front. In the meantime, he will do nothing to stem the tide of immorality that threatens to destroy the nation. So America might not exist. Although America doesn't really exist as I knew it 30 years ago. America no longer exists. So it will exist to an even lesser degree by the time Donald Trump leaves office, and it'll be run by a pile of seething homosexuals. And let's go to Madison, Wisconsin. Speaking of a pile of seething, festering homosexuals, we go to Madison, Wisconsin, where a federal judge has ordered Wisconsin to pay for the gender reassignment surgery of two people in particular, but generally everybody. Yeah, anybody on Medicaid should be. Now, if you're on Medicaid, doesn't that mean you're old, or is that for the poor people? I can't remember. No, Medicare is when you're old. Medicaid is when you're young and lazy. Medicaid. Yeah, so anyone on Medicaid should be able to get a transgendered operation there. According to U.S. District Judge William Conley, and McBurney, don't you understand this is why we needed Donald Trump? Conley was appointed by Barack Obama. He'll destroy the country. Donald Trump is reorganizing the federal judiciary in the image of Scalia. And all this, I suppose. Conservatives, right? Well, we'll just see about that. We'll see about that. I every time I hear that, I'm just reminded of Donald Trump standing on the stage with the rainbow flag. Uh-huh. It's like fags for Trump. I forget exactly what it said. Trump thumbs up for gonorrhea. Trump okay with syphilis epidemic in the gay community in San Francisco. Is that what was on the banner? I don't think that was on the banner. I remember it had the rainbow on there, and that's pretty offensive to me. All right, let's see here. The judge in this case, who is not unlike any of the judges appointed in my entire lifetime, from Ronald Reagan all the way to Donald Trump. This judge is not outside the bounds of the actions of any of those judges. Any of the judges ever since, go back, all the way back. Back to before Nixon, let's see, my whole lifetime. I think my whole lifetime started when Richard Nixon was the president, as a matter of fact, oddly enough. Anyway, and I forget who appointed Blackmun, the judge who issued an opinion that we had the right to kill innocent children. Wasn't that Blackmun? I get confused sometimes. He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer, who hadn't even been conceived in Japan at the time. So you're not going to have an answer. I think it was Harry Blackmun, and I believe he was appointed by a Republican. But I don't know which Republican. But anyway, this U.S. District Judge William Connolly telling Wisconsin that they have to pay for tranny surgery, that's just par for the course of a federal judge. That doesn't matter to me whether he was appointed by a Republican or a Democrat or anything in between. But here's what the judge said. This is the judge's opinion on Wisconsin having to pay for transgendered surgery. The judge said, quote, "The likelihood of ongoing irreparable harm facing these two individual plaintiffs," that's the trannies or the wannabe trannies, so the broke, really cheap trannies. I mean, if you want something, you got to learn. Shouldn't nobody ever taught these people to save up their money for something they really, really want? Anyway, he says the ongoing irreparable harm facing these two individual plaintiffs outweighs any marginal impacts on the defendant, that's the state of Wisconsin, concerns or limiting costs, saying no matter what Wisconsin is concerned about and no matter how much it costs, the state shall be compelled by this particular judge to pay for transgendered surgery for the mentally deranged, delusional people who never saved up their pennies for their transgender surgery. Mm-hmm. Let's delve into the background of these two particular individual plaintiffs who are begging the state for transgendered surgery. Do you have no shame? I mean, I for one would just be embarrassed about having my hand out. But I suppose once you've crossed that Rubicon to where you're publicly asking for transgendered surgery, it's probably hard to find any shame over anything. So let's see. The first plaintiff is Cody Flack, who's 30 years old and has cerebral palsy and uses a motorized wheelchair and is on supplemental security income. That's welfare for all of you people who may not be versed in the vernacular of the welfare state. Supplemental security income is Social Security for people who are young and lazy. Okay, he has cerebral palsy. Well, cry me a river. There are people with cerebral palsy who function in society and who can save up their money for stuff they really, really want. There are people in motorized wheelchairs who can function in society and can contribute to society and who can save up for stuff that they really, really want. But no, this particular Flack, Cody Flack, relies on supplemental security income for the disabled as his sole support. That means he's so lazy that he can't even get like a part-time gig. Come on. Let's see. He first identified as a boy at age 5. So you know what that tells us? This is actually a woman. Cody Flack first identified as a boy. How do you identify as a boy at age 5? How do you even know anything about? I don't understand. What does that mean? He, instead of playing with dolls, she played with a Tonka truck. Anyways, it's all varied. Let's see. Who's the other deranged maniac destroying the country? Let's see. Mackenzie. Sarah Ann Mackenzie, which is a guy, by the way, just so you know, suffers from gender dysphoria and is also disabled and relies on supplemental security income and has been living as a woman since 2012. So this is a guy as well. Wait a minute. This is a guy. The other one's a girl. It's all mixed up. All right. Well, here we go. So essentially, the takeaway here, folks, is that the future of the state of Wisconsin shall be determined by this judge based on the demands of two mentally deficient welfare cases. It's gonna chart your future there, Wisconsin. I'd be trading in my cheese, and I'd be heading for the border. Although Wisconsin may be one of the last states that's been compelled to pay for tranny surgery. There may be nowhere else to flee. Were those keyboards? Is that keyboards I heard? So I was posting on Facebook, which I rarely ever do. Rarely ever do. But I posted a picture of a concert we went to. And one of my friends posted that I miss this guy's. He says, you miss Neil Schon's best work, HSAS. And I didn't even know what that meant. So I had to go look it up. And it was Sammy Hagar and Neil Schon circa 1983. And I had this rush of memories from the early 1980s, and I remembered, and I was like, I'm surprised that I missed that this happened, that Neil Schon and Sammy Hagar, they got together, they did an album. How did I miss that? I missed that because back then I thought any band that had keyboard players were all gay. You might as well be Boy George, which, by the way, a friend of mine. Another Facebook friend, not a real friend, just a Facebook friend, posted what appeared to be live video of Boy George in a recent, it seems to be a recent onstage performance. Oh, very God. Disturbing. I'll tell you who it is. It'll freak you out. You won't believe. Anyway, that'll be later. Now, wait, let me go. So I posted to my friend on Facebook that... You know, here's why I missed this is because I thought keyboards were gay. And I would never, I probably thought Sammy Hagar was gay. And I knew everyone in Journey was gay because they had all those keyboards everywhere. But anyway, so I told him, I said that my horizons have broadened significantly since the early 1980s. At least on keyboards. Not on homos. I'm with the keyboards I can tolerate some keyboards. I prefer a Hammond B3, if at all possible, and a few other iterations, but very few. Now, meanwhile, let's continue with the important news of the day from the War File. Did you know there was a mass shooting in Toronto by an Islamic terrorist this past week? Yeah. Oh, you did know? I only because I told you. Because I barely heard it. Faisal Hussein... killed two people and wounded 13 in Toronto, in Greektown in Toronto. His parents say that he's just mentally unstable. And he killed Reese Fallon, 18 years old, and 10-year-old Juliana Cozies. 10-year-old girl killed. Some of the others wounded, according to authorities, have life-altering injuries. And I don't know, because this particular Islamic terrorist was relatively inefficient, it's as if it's just not a very big... Or you know what it might be? It might be that GDP went up over 4%, and that's really what matters. Not the fact that we have Islamic terrorists engaged in mass shootings in Toronto. I mean, that's a story, yes. But I mean, 4.1% GDP growth... I mean, does anything matter, really? Anyway, so we go to Canada, where a representative of the Masjid Dar es Salaam Mosque, which is the mosque where the terrorist's father sometimes prays. What's that, sometimes prays? I thought all these Muslims were devout and they prayed five times a day. They just say his father sometimes prayed at this mosque.
He's not very good.
Yeah, he's not the best of Muslims. Probably why his son wasn't a very efficient killer. Anyway, the representatives from the mosque where his father sometimes prayed said the first thing that comes to their mind when the shooter was identified is fear of a backlash against Muslims. Not that they're sorry that Muslims have once again slaughtered other people in cold blood. Not that they're just so ashamed that anyone would take the name of their God in their mouth while they're slaughtering people. No, no. They're worried about a backlash. Let's see, who's the mullah here at the mosque? His name is Ilyas Mullah. So the mullah's name is actually Mullah. What are the odds of that? Mullah. The mullah, he's the boss of the mosque. He's the guy with the biggest turban or whatever. I know, that's very culturally insensitive. I apologize. I apologize to everyone in my audience who wears a turban, and it may have found that offensive. You know, I say the same thing about the Catholics with the big pointy hats. I'm an equal opportunity offensive person. Anyway, Mullah says that the shooting underscores need for better education around mental health in society. Really, is that what the shooting underscores? No comment about the fact that another Muslim has slaughtered people in the... That doesn't underscore that in any way, Mullah. The Mullah's so nice, they had to name him twice. Mullah at the Dar es Salaam. Oh, I'm sorry, the Masjid Dar es Salaam Mosque. There in Toronto, where the terrorist father sometimes prayed. Sometimes he just hung around, smoked cigarettes. Other times he prayed. All right. Let's see, we have another quote here from the Canadian Council of Imams. They came on and apologized for the fact that yet another Muslim has... No, they didn't, as a matter of fact. No apology at all. In fact, what they said is, while we await the full investigation by the Toronto police, because, of course, we don't actually know what happened here. What was his name? Faisal Hussein? We need to await the full investigation. While we await the full investigation, we want to avoid terrible tragedies like this. As if it was some kind of car accident. Right? If it was a tornado, right? We want to help avoid terrible tragedies like this. This senseless and unspeakable act of violence has no place in our society. Did you catch that? This senseless and unspeakable act of violence has no place in our society. It's a very generic statement. No condemnation of this specific person and no specific condemnation from the Islamic perspective. Right? No, none. It's just this. It's a senseless, unspeakable act is what it was. They don't name the act. They don't name the person. And they don't... Because let's face it, folks, if somebody in the name of Christianity went into a gay bar and started gunning people down, the Christians would line up to say this is not Christianity. This guy has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He has nothing to do with our church. This is a maniac and a lunatic. We're very sorry that this happened. But the Muslims, being a Muslim means never having to apologize. It's kind of like being a homosexual activist in the gay mafia. You never have to apologize. In fact, you can just keep pushing and pushing and pushing like what's happening in Israel over this past week, where the LGBT advocates there in Tel Aviv and their supporters, right? You know what that means? That means people who actually hooked up at the gay bar the night before and other people who were there but ended up going home alone. That's the LGBT advocates and their supporters. They're on strike in Israel, all over the country. And you know why? They're protesting the exclusion of homosexual men from a recently passed law on adopting children. The law basically said that homosexual men cannot adopt children. That in and of itself gives me some hope for the Jewish state. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought that homosexuals were granted the right to adopt children 20 years ago in Israel. I was shocked to find that out. And I was rather pleasantly surprised. But the piles of homos and their supporters, they're all upset and they've gone on strike. So there's no interior decorating going on, right? There's no, the legal profession has practically ground to a halt. All the discos are shut down. What else? What else are makeup artists and stylists at the salon? You can't get a haircut in Tel Aviv now because all the gay men have gone on strike. Anyway, they're on strike because they are not allowed to adopt children. The community, that's the homosexuals, they're outraged that even after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pledged to pass a law saying that homos could adopt, he ended up actually voting against it. So there's a black eye for Benjamin Netanyahu. But isn't that the way a politician is? Some about Benjamin Netanyahu. I know a lot of you people kind of think he's great. Some about that guy. I just don't like that guy. I don't trust that guy. Anyway, I don't like that guy. Some about him is a little sleazy and slimy. Well, there's that. Yeah, okay. I'm reminded by my extremely attractive audio engineer that he was busted cheating on his wife. That's number one. That's the big one. Yeah, that's once. After that, you should have to live in shame for the rest of your life. You should have to live like my grandfather had to live. My grandfather cheated on my grandmother. He had to leave the city. He lost his pension. He was run out of town on a rail. He had to move south of the Mason-Dixon line. He did. He couldn't cross into New York State after what he did. Anyway, but Netanyahu, well, he gets reelected. So he promises the fags that he'll pass legislation so that they can adopt children. And then all the fags vote against him anyways. And then he ends up voting against them. Yeah, they deserve each other. So he voted against it. Apparently, he was pressured by the ultra-Orthodox Jewish coalition. So here's how bad it is in Israel. Unless you're one of these guys who wears a robe with the braids, or no, what is the curly Q things and the black, they're the only people who are standing up and saying, wait, with the fags and everything. Please, could we slow down with the homosexualization of our entire society? They're the only ones left. Are the ultra-Orthodox. And Netanyahu decided, I guess at the last minute, he needed their support more than he needed the queers, because there aren't that many queers. There's more Hasids than there are queers, probably. So anyway, the protest has grown now into a general call for equality. Did you get that? So it's gone from we want the right to adopt children to now we want to be recognized as equal and normal and all that. And what that really means is that the younger segment of Israeli society, along with their guilt-ridden, incompetent parents, and their equally guilt-ridden grandparents in Israel are going to call for rampant public sodomy, which is where this all leads. You think I'm crazy, right? You think I'm insane to suggest that acknowledging homosexuals as equal and good and giving them a right to get married and adopt kids, that would lead to rampant public sodomy. But I'm here to tell you that's where this leads to rampant public sodomy. And that means the end of civilization. And they're even marching in the streets in Jerusalem. I wonder, Donald Trump, maybe God doesn't really appreciate you putting Israel's secular capital in his eternal holy city at this particular time in history. Maybe I'm just throwing that out there. My gut, when I heard that Donald Trump was moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem, my gut was, this is good. But I never thought how that might offend God. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. So good to have you. Did you know there was an attempted mass shooting standoff at the Trader Joe's in Los Angeles? Heard about that? So the maniac who's in custody, who was behind the Trader Joe's standoff, had apparently been feuding with his grandmother. This is according to the New York Post. Had been feuding with his grandmother over the fact that his girlfriend was shacking up with him inside her home. And the New York Post actually used the term shacking up. We're making an impact, people. somebody's listening. Atkins' grandmother. So the maniac. What's his name here? Gene Evan Atkins. That's how you know that you're infamous, is when they call you by all three of your names. Gene Evan Atkins, 28-year-old young man. He had been arguing with his grandmother on and off, according to relatives, about the girlfriend he was shacking up with. And last week, he decided that he would kill her last Saturday. He would kill his 76-year-old grandmother. His grandmother had taken him in at a young age because his mother was a drug addict and his father was in prison. Atkins, who has two daughters, and he wound up actually shooting his girlfriend as well in this whole melee. So this is why civilization is going to go off the rails before too long. The population of domestic situations resembling this increases every day because of godlessness. And so it's just a matter of time before it all spins out of control. He allegedly shot and killed a store employee. This is according to the New York Post. Actually, it turns out that the employee of Trader Joe's was killed accidentally by the police during the standoff as they exchanged gunfire with Gene Evan Atkins. And so he's responsible for the death of this woman. He shot his grandmother. I've seen conflicting accounts. He may have shot her up to 7 times. The 76, she's still alive. Yeah, but the lady killed at the store, so this guy should be on... His trial should have already begun while everything's fresh in everyone's mind, you know? Mm-hmm. So the trial should already be ongoing, and this guy should be, if he's convicted, which he would be if it was a fair trial, he would be executed by the end of this week. But he won't be. He won't be. And so there's another reason civilization is going to spin out of control off the rails, is because we've forgotten what's right and what's wrong. And let me relate to you an incident from, I believe it was March of this year, March, maybe April of this year, where I was on the road working with a number of millennials, as I sometimes have to do for my work. Although I don't have to do it, I suppose. I could just stop. And maybe I will, especially after what I'm about to relate to you. So I went out for pizza and beer with two of my coworkers, and we arrived back at the Airbnb sometime in the late evening, maybe 8, 9 o'clock. And we walk in, and the rest of the millennials are watching a television program called Rick and Morty. Are you familiar with this? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. And she's not. Of course she's not. And neither was I. Not familiar with Rick and Morty in the least. Walked through the living room, sat down on a chair, and I watched for approximately 10 minutes Rick and Morty. And I remember having the same sick, sinking feeling crawl through my stomach as the very first time I heard the Beastie Boys record in 1987. It was that same, just drain the blood out of you, a sense of dread and doom. And I thought to myself, surely this is the end of civilization. Surely God cannot linger and wait much longer and allow things like this to continue. And that's the reaction I had in 1987 when I heard the Beastie Boys' License to Ill record. And then this a few months ago when I saw this show, Rick and Morty, I had that, but times 10. Because it was the vilest, most disgusting, just awful thing I'd ever seen. And I couldn't believe that this was on, even on cable or the internet or whatever they watch it on. That something like this could be displayed in public anywhere at any time was shocking to me. And folks, I've been around the world and I've seen some stuff, okay? But Rick and Morty actually made me have a sense of dread for the future of our society. And I had to leave after about 10 minutes because I was going to get physically nauseous. It was that bad. I mean, it's awful. It's unbelievable. So anyway, this week, the co-creator of Rick and Morty, Dan Harmon, had to apologize. Why? Well, for the fake baby rape video that he posted back in 2009. I know, it's like a fake what? Did you say what? Excuse me? Apparently, listen to this. Where did I get this? I don't know where I got this article from. I think this is from Breitbart. Breitbart calls it a distasteful video in which Harmon, that's Dan Harmon, co-creator of Rick and Morty, Harmon plays the role of a pedophile who prescribes sleeping pills to one of his patients so he can molest the newborn baby of the patient. That was his joke video that he posted. And now he's apologizing, saying that, you know, that was probably a little bit over the line. So this was Monday I pulled this story down. Thursday, we have this. A new drawing of President Trump's 12-year-old son, Barron, was posted by the other co-creator of Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland, and it has resurfaced just a few days after the other co-creator, Pervert, had to apologize. And then if you go into what's here, it's just unbelievable. And so now I understand why, when I walked into that living room and I experienced this Rick and Morty for approximately 10 minutes, I understand now why I almost became physically ill and why I had that sinking feeling of dread and doom in the pit of my stomach for the future of America. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that got me more than the utter repulsive, disgusting display that was on the television set as Rick and Morty played. What was more disturbing was the reaction of the grown men in the room. Half a dozen grown men. The future of America was represented in that room. And I had that sick, sinking, dark, dreadful. Anyway, so there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, for the better part of a generation, I would guess, maybe a little longer, the youth of America have been entertained by a bunch of perverts and deviants. And that just doesn't end well, okay? That's all. And so and that's why I told you earlier, Israel voting to make homosexuals just equal, what that leads to is rampant public sodomy. What I saw on Rick and Morty was just short of rampant public sodomy. And it's depicted in the media, but eventually it'll be acted out in real life, in the streets all the time. It'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Because that kind of, just in general, wickedness cannot be restrained, and it can't be satisfied. And so if you thought Beavis and Butthead in the 90s was kind of shocking and repulsive, get a load of Rick and Morty and you'll see the natural progression of things. And the creators of The Simpsons and Beavis and Butthead, they were their own particular level of evil. And the creators of Rick and Morty make baby rape videos and draw pornographic images of 12-year-old boys and put them out in public. And so that's where all this goes. And that's why the perverts have to be restrained. And that's why sexual immorality has to be recriminalized. Starting with adultery, by the way. Starting with adultery. And then moving on to all the other forms of various forms of sexual immorality. All the way from adultery all the way down to the bottom. And will that happen? Yes, it will at some point in the not too distant future. That will happen. It has to. Because if it doesn't, all is lost. And God has already promised us that all shall not be lost. He will win in the end. And so at some point, we're going to get this thing back on the rails. So don't get too down in the mouth. Now, we might all go broke before that happens. But hey, it's only money from the politics file. A new report indicates that a number of states, including Connecticut, California, Illinois, New Jersey, and New York, have become unable to make pension payments to retired government workers and are operating under what Mitch Daniels, a Republican who has participated in the outright theft of a generation's worth of wealth. Mitch Daniels, he was one of the thieves involved. So he knows. You can listen to him. Mitch Daniels says that these states are drowning in what he calls irretrievable debt. That means we're so far gone that we can't even get it back. And Mitch Daniels ought to know he was a part of the whole thing. Mitch Daniels, by the way, he is a former Republican congressman, possibly a senator. Maybe. Anyways, he's a Republican. And he says there may be a way in some states to have a reset of the pension obligations, although in some places these pensions are constitutionally protected. And, well, it's going to be a crisis. He says somebody's going to have to go to the barbershop, and my guess is it's going to be the taxpayers. He says the taxpayers are going to be forced to attempt to bail out these state pension funds, but he says it's to the point now where if you take all the money from everybody, you still can't make it happen. Yeah. And what do you think's going to happen when the politicians go to the people who are getting toward retirement age or have already retired, and they start telling them, we can't actually pay you these pensions we promised you? And the old people are going to say, but you promised me this pension. And the politicians are going to say, yeah, but you knew we were liars. You called us liars your whole life. You made jokes about us being liars, right? So can't we all just, maybe we could just laugh this all off and let's move along.
Housemates rub the floors, they get the spaces in between. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, 'cause I'm the next big thing in Beverly Hills.
I am your host, Doug McBurney. Yes, pay attention very closely, ladies and gentlemen. There's something to see here. Yes, indeed. All right, so we move on now to reason number 1,152. To get or keep your children out of the government schools. And that is, let's just say that they could be molested by the band teacher. Now, that's not so unusual. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you've probably heard the story about my band teacher. Back in the early 1980s, my band teacher, our collective band instructor, the band director is what he was called. He impregnated a cheerleader, a junior in high school, as a matter of fact. And they both had to flee town before the girl's father shot the young man. Well, that's just old-fashioned is what that is. Because now the band directors trade in homosexual child pornography. That's right. A Texas high school band teacher pleaded guilty to sharing child pornography, and he may spend 5 years in federal prison. Now, the story here from Breitbart says he will spend 5 years in federal prison, but if you pay attention to stories about criminal justice these days, you know that that's simply not true, that he will. We could say that he may, but we cannot assume that he will. Because half the people who were sentenced to murder 25 or 30 years ago, who were sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, half of them are out of prison. So this guy may spend some time in federal prison. We'll just see about that. Anyway, his name is Parker Pendergraf. He was sentenced for distribution of child pornography, and then it goes into what it was. I don't want to get into it. After he gets out of prison, if indeed he spends any time in prison, just to be creative, the judge sentenced him to 5 years in federal prison plus 8 years of supervised release. Supervised release. That means somebody gets to watch. What is that? It's just disgusting. Pendergraf was a 29-year-old single man with no children and was put in charge of teaching young kids, which is a huge mistake. But, he was living, after he was arrested, his mother and his aunt had to petition the state for bail, saying that he would live with one of them so that he wouldn't live on his own and get on his computer and do, and the judge said, no, I don't think so. But anyway, so now he's in jail. This is in the Corpus Christi area. He was caught, by the way, listen to this. This might even be a more compelling aspect of this story. Parker J. Pendergraf was caught due to efforts on the part of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security Investigations, the Corpus Christi Department of Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, the United States Attorney's Office, the Criminal Division's Child Exploitation Obscenity Section, and other federal, state, and local officials. What's happened, ladies and gentlemen, are these officials, state, local, and federal, have organized what they call Project Safe Childhood. Have you heard of this? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer and realized at that point she wasn't really paying attention. Absolutely. Have you heard of this? Project Safe Childhood is, it marshals resources to locate, apprehend, and prosecute individuals who sexually exploit children. And it also works to identify and rescue victims. This sounds like a noble cause, right? Well, Operation Project Child, Project Safe Childhood is a nationwide initiative launched in May of 2006 by the Department of Justice to combat the growing epidemic of child exploitation, sexual exploitation and abuse. All right. So, folks, if officials in our justice system decide that they want to fight against child sexual abuse and exploitation, and they launch an effort in 2006... I would assume that now here we are, 12 years later? 12 years later, there should be virtually no child sexual exploitation or exchange of pornography. I mean, if they're serious about it, how long does it take to solve a problem like this? There aren't that many deviants like this who do this kind of disgusting stuff. There aren't that many. But here we have, basically, ladies and gentlemen, this is now an industry that employs hundreds and possibly thousands of people who work specifically on this initiative to and look at I find the verbiage interesting here. They've decided what they want to do is combat the growing epidemic of child sexual exploitation abuse. You know, they don't announce that they want to end it and they want to stop it. They want to fight it and they want to try and punish to the full extent of the law anyone who participates. They just want to combat it. And I think it's a subtle change in the mentality of criminal justice officials. Is that they no longer hold forth even the hope that they could end something like the sexual exploitation of children. They don't even think they can end it anymore. They just want to make a living fighting it, which is a noble enough thing to do. But the people at the top who organize these things, they're missing the whole point. The goal of your average law enforcement officer who works on a project like this, it's not to combat this. It's to stop it. And it's to kill the bastards who do it, is what their goal would be. And so the people at the top, they should have the wherewithal to organize, what do they call this, Project Safe Childhood, to actually achieve a safe childhood for every kid. That should be the goal. And to do that, what we need to do is we need to identify, arrest, try, and publicly, painfully execute anyone who participates in any of this stuff. And before too long, there would be virtually no one who does anything like this. And not because we'd have to kill them all. No, because they'd stop. Because they'd be terrified. But instead, the people at the top have built up an industry around churning pedophiles in and out of prison. One just moved in about 10 miles from our house. We have our, I got the alert. Another child rapist has been released into the community. Fortunately, he's about 10 miles away.
10 miles from here?
About 10 miles from here, yeah.
That's too close.
That's definitely too close, but what can you do? The hills are crawling with him, for crying out loud. Anyway, just very sad. So reason number 1,152, to get your children out of the government schools. The band director might molest them. Although we may have covered that reason once or twice in the past. These things tend to be somewhat redundant. And just a reminder of how broken our justice system has become, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a justice system. Now it's just a system. And an industry of sorts. All right. Now, a little bit of good news. A step in the right direction. The Dallas Mavericks have announced that their cheerleaders' uniforms next year will show less skin. That's right. The Mavericks are trying to revamp their image, according to CBS in Dallas. The Mavericks are trying to revamp their image after all a bunch of sexual harassment scandals around the... This is a basketball team, he told his extremely attractive audio engineer, because he knew she wouldn't know. One slut who danced for the Mavericks for several seasons says there was a culture of allowing sexual harassment. Should I not call her a slut? Is that... I don't know. I'm sorry. Anyone who thinks cheerleaders is a good idea is just not a good idea. I'm sorry. I would never let my daughter participate ever. I don't care if they were wearing, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me what you dress them in. I don't want my girl dancing in front of people in general.
Not like that.
No. Dancing is something that two people should do, preferably alone, so nobody else has to watch. Anyway, And if you become a professional cheerleader for one of these teams,
yeah,
I'm sorry. To me, at least, I would assume you're a slut. That's my assumption. I could be wrong. I'm open to being corrected on that. Now, the new CEO of the Dallas Mavericks, Cynthia Marshall, was hired to clean up the organization. She says... she says the team... That means the basketball players, right? Right? She says the team wants the focus to be on the dancers as artists.
Yeah, right.
And to highlight their skills. Not that they be sexualized. I'm sure that's what the basketball players are sitting around talking about. The artistic expression of the cheerleaders. That's what they really want. Get out of here with that. So there, I'm not going to watch any basketball anyways, but I guess it's good that they're going to, I don't know. A little less skin is probably better than more, I suppose. Let's go from there. We'll go to the domestic tranquility file, where the father of two Parkland school shooting survivors was fatally shot at his North Lauderdale convenience store during a robbery about 10 days ago. The story reminds me of, you know, you hear the story of the veteran who survived three tours in Afghanistan, one tour in Iraq, comes back to America, and gets killed in some criminal event. That's what this reminds me of. A robbery suspect forced Ayub Ali, the father of four, forced him into the back of the store where he was shot to death so that they could steal some money. His two of his kids were at the Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And so there. That's from the domestic tranquility file. That's the state of domestic tranquility in America. Your kids might be able to duck and cover from the gunfire at school, but you might be shot at work for a tray full of money. That's the state of domestic tranquility in America. And by the way, domestic tranquility is one of the things that was spelled out by our founders that our governing officials had a responsibility to preserve. Is it preserve the domestic tranquility? No, to ensure the domestic tranquility in order to preserve our posterity and all of that. Anyway, they've dropped the ball on that. Okay, they've dropped the ball on that. Now, meanwhile, let's go to Mars. We go to Mars for the science. Really? File. Where scientists say they may have found, well, no, the headline says, underground lake found on Mars. The underground lake found on Mars, raising the possibility of life, is the headline. And scientists say they've spotted what they said appears to be a sizable salt-laden lake under the ice on the southern pole of Mars. A body of water they called a possible habitat for microbial life, meaning, obviously, God does not exist. Well, no, they didn't actually put that in the story, but that's the implication. If they can find one microbe, one speck of one microbe in space, they are going to assume that God need not exist. And they're getting all hot and bothered about this lake. They say there are terrestrial organisms that can actually survive and thrive in similar environments. And there are even microorganisms on Earth that are capable of surviving in a similar type environment, even in ice. Yeah. And my guess is if they ever are able to scrape off these microbes and find out what they are, they'll find out that they actually came from the Earth. That's just a guess. Let's see. Nobody dares to propose that there could be any more complex life, one scientist says. So they spent, that's the final sentence, at least the final sentence, like they're toward the end of the article that I copied. But they basically do 8 paragraphs implying that there are civilizations with orchestras and everything else on all these other billions of planets, on all these stars, all over the universe. So they spend 8 paragraphs with all of that. And then at the very end, they say, well, it's probably nothing more than a microbe. But most people don't read that far down. Most of your millennials assume that they've already found intelligent life out there. Because, well, they're generally not all that bright. They've been lied to and brainwashed their whole life is what it is. All right, now, finally, ladies and gentlemen, from the politics file, we go to Chicago, where mayoral candidate Willie Wilson was at a church this past weekend, last Sunday, and he was just flat out handing out cash money to people. He's running for the mayor of Chicago, and he gave away approximately $300,000 last Sunday to about 2,000 people at the New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church. He says he's actually just trying to assist homeowners who are struggling to pay their property tax bills. And he's certainly not doing anything that could be construed with anything at all having to do with anything to do with handing out money for votes or tampering with our sacred democracy. See, he wouldn't. He certainly was not meddling, ladies and gentlemen. And we wouldn't want to accuse him with meddling in our sacred democratic processes. And in my mind, what Chicago mayoral candidate Willie Wilson is doing or was doing last Sunday, and was probably doing this Sunday as well, he was just making obvious to everybody what American elections actually are. The difference between Willie Wilson and other politicians is he's handing out his own money. So, I mean, at least you got to give the guy that. At least he's handing out his own money. Most politicians in Chicago get elected by promising people other people's money. Willie just cut out the middleman. He just said, I'll give you some cash. Be at the polls in November. I want to be the mayor. And anyway, no word yet on if Robert Mueller has opened an investigation into Willie Wilson tampering with the sacred democratic processes there in Chicagoland. And Willie Wilson, what are the odds Willie gets elected? If he does a few more Sundays like this and he plays his cards right at all of the Missionary Baptist churches. What's up with the Missionary Baptist churches in the big cities? It's them and the AME where the Democrats always show up. And typically they hand out other people's money. Well, really, typically they just promise you other people's money. But Willie knows how the game is played. And if there was a, if there's a line on this in Vegas, I am going to bet that Willie Wilson will be elected as the duly democratically elected mayor of Chicago. And we want to thank Willie for at least handing out his own money. I think I've gotten about all I can out of it. It's probably time to just end the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Weekly Worldview this week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.